Sure.
Start recording. Okay.
You guys are going to have a lot of editing to do.
We'll find someone on campus.
Mm-hmm.
We'll find someone on campus out there. Yeah. Yeah, she wants evidence that,
evidence that
this
did
all
it, yeah.
happened.
It'll be on the web, of course.
Here, in front of the screen.
Yeah. It doesn't come out. The screen isn't great. It's okay. Smile.
Thanks.
Thank you. Guess we should
start. Okay.
Hi. This morning's first talk is by Alana Johns and Christine Nokosak, Community Reference Grammar of Labrador Inuktitut.
Adili, hi. Christine Nokosak. Nokosakna. Makovim Milk. Nunatsevim Milk, Canada. Nunatsevut means our beautiful land. This is just a picture of one outside in the harbor of one of the communities in Nunatsiavut. This is the community I'm from, Makovik, and this here is Nunatsiavut in Canada, part of Newfoundland and Labrador. There are five communities in Nunatsiavut that speak the Inuktitut language. And the furthest one is in Nain, here. There's about 1,200 people there that are beneficiaries or members of the Nunatsiavut that speak the Inuktitut language. And this is one of the biggest communities in Labrador. The next one up is Nakwashish. This is a Innu community, not a part of Nunatsiavut. They are part of the Mushwa Innu, and they speak Innu Emun. Oops. Hopedale is another community south of Nain that have that also speak the Inuktitut language. But they're not all fluent there either. Hostville is another small community south of Hopedale, next to Makovik, where I'm from. They don't have language speakers. They're Inuktitut language, but in their school they use their Rosetta Stone, which I'll speak of in the slides to come. Makovik is the community I'm from. There's about 380 people there. And there's just a small majority of the community that speak the Inuktitut language. Most of them are settlers, speak the English language. It's just two languages there. Riglet is another small community south of Makovik. And there are only a few handful of people there that speak the Inuktitut language. And this is Happy Valley Goose Bay, where I have to fly from Makovik to get out of the community by air in the winter. And we have also the what we call the Marine Atlantic transportation by boat in the summer, which is from July to November. And then it's by air. In Nunatsiavut, there are 2,598 official Labrador Inuit. And Among the youth in Nunatsiavut, in each community, a lot of them cannot speak the Inuktitut language. A lot of them understand it, but they have trouble speaking it. There are elders there that speak the Inuktitut language, and the youth are very interested in learning it through our school. Mostly through our school because a lot of the families speak English. There are immersion and core Inuktitut in those communities that I mentioned. In Nain, there is kindergarten to grade 3 immersion and kindergarten to grade 12 core Inuktitut, which is scheduled into the curriculum, the English curriculum in our schools. In Hopedale, they have K and 1 immersion, K to 12 Inuktitut. In Makovic, we have K to 12 core Inuktitut, no immersion. Postville is just K to 9 Rosetta Stone, and Rosetta Stone I'll mention later on. In Riglet, there is K to 9 grades core Inuktitut. Within our school board, we have an Inuit program specialist, and her name is Sarah Townley, and she travels from Nain to Makovic, but she's stationed in Happy Valley Goose Bay. We have a curriculum developer within our school board, and her name is Sophie Tuglavina. She does curriculum material in Inuktitut language for our classroom use. In Nain, there are 6 Inuit language teachers, 6 in Hopedale, 1 in Makovic, 1 in Postville, and 1 in Riglet. This is a dark picture of the window facing the outside of my classroom. And in the picture here you see Sikhinik, which is the word for sun in Inuktitut. And in the back there, I don't know if you could see all the snow we got outside. This is a picture of a grade 3 student that I've taught in my classroom. This is just one picture where I'm teaching, I've already taught the words for mother, father, this is me, my name is, and my birthday. And this day I was just teaching the ending GA. So this Ananaga means my mom, Atataga my dad, Atiga my name, Inulifiga, as you can see, is my birthday. Una is this, Uvanga is me. So this is the type of thing that I would teach in the classroom, and they take this home after they've learned this part of the language in Inuktitut. The parents are usually very pleased to see any language work done in the classroom brought home by students. In Nunatsiavut, we also have an affiliate, which is Tungasuk Culture Center. And they've produced many documented information for the Inuktitut language, one of them being a dictionary called Labradorimi Ulinaisihutit. They also have produced a young learner's book, Adwararauhausinnut, and stories from storytelling festivals in 2006 called Unikkalauta. And this Rosetta Stone that I've been mentioning is also made or came from Tungasuk Culture Center, and it's level 1 Inuktitut, which we use in the classroom in each community from K to 12. Which is very useful in the classroom. It could also be used, could be bought and used in homes. There is an application for classroom use and an application for home use that any person in Nunatsiavut could use in their home if they wanted to use or learn the Inuktitut language. As you tiny looking to house about. This is a language strategy committee in Nunatsiavut. They've just been traveling lately. Their first community consultation was in this past February, and their goal is to revitalize a language plan within Nunatsiavut with their goal of 2050, hoping to promote the Inuttitut language, I guess, for more use by the people of Nunatsiavut.
Okay, so Christine's just told you then about all the urgency of the work that's going on in Labrador, that young people aren't speaking it, but at the same time, there's so much going on amongst the community in terms of efforts for preservation. And this is a long-standing tradition within Labrador that goes back at least to Rose Chador's dictionary in 1976, which was a really good dictionary that was produced by Labrador Inuit and a team of them. Rose Chador was the leader, who's Labrador Inuit. And this dictionary, unfortunately, is out of print, but there's now another dictionary, and maybe the other old one will come back to print. So what I'm going to talk about at this point is just one piece of the many things that are going on up there. And what I'm going to talk about now is Labrador Inuttitut Community Grammar, which is a project that we've got with myself in Toronto and in partnership with Tungasa Cultural Center. So this is just one piece of their many things going on. So the community participants are somewhat fluid in a sense, both in Toronto and in Nunatsiavut, because people are not dedicated full-time to the project. Even myself, I'm a linguist. I'm not spending all day every week or whatever I've got. And as you'll see, as I go through the participants, some will be part of it sometimes and different parts later. So Rita Anderson of Tungasa Cultural Center has been one of the mainstays in a lot of the materials that Christine described to you that they've been making. So she's been providing language support. Katie Winters, she's our NAIN liaison person, so she's transcribing, consulting, checking stuff. One of her roles is, as you'll see later, like we're trying to make this very readable, so one of her roles is to say, Alana, I don't know what you're talking about, so that's a really important role. And Joan Dicker, I'll talk about, she's a teacher in NAIN. She was involved last year with the establishment of a story database that we'll talk about in a second. And then Christine's been involved this year with grammar issues and putting together the pieces of the grammar, so you see. So, but in Toronto, we've got graduate students. Again, they come in and out of it. They're, as we all know, graduate students, their interests change. Everything's not fixed. Sarah Clark was involved with the first postings in web design when we first started this project 2 years ago. Richard Compton has been putting up the most recent web postings. He's now putting the grammar up as a blog. One of the things we're trying to do, as I'll talk later, is put the grammar online so everybody can look at it as it develops. So the right format, we just changed it to a blog, but it might change to something else. What we're looking for is ease of revising. We want it to be really easy to revise, but still be online. Ewan Dunbar, who's no longer at U of T, now at University of Maryland, this is how they change. he was involved with the story database, so he, in the creation of it, he specializes in linguistics and computers. So this is just a brief description of the story database that was sort of the focus last year. So here we've got Inuktitut on the left, English on the right, and audio. The Inuktitut can be read by fluent speakers who don't want to look at the English. There's no English interspersed here. And the stories come from either stories that were transcribed from oral stories or stories that were written in Uptito, not translated from English. That's a crucial factor. None of the information comes from English. The novel aspect of this story database that Ewan was instrumental in making was here, where with the click on one of the words are very, sometimes very long and morphologically complex, and if a listener, a learner is interested, they can click on it, and then you get a morpheme breakdown, and as you can see with the cursor here, also get, you can move the cursor over the pieces and see the English. But the reason we had it on, as only, you only get it when you click it, is so that advanced learners or fluent speakers can still enjoy the stories without seeing English all over the place, which I think is pretty irritating to them. So, and also the breakdown of the stories is the more, yeah, a lot of people don't like to see that. But people who are learning find that useful. So that's the story database. But as I say, this year what we're developing and trying to get loaded and going is a community grammar. So what makes it a community grammar, not just a regular grammar? We're trying to make it a reference grammar, so it's going to have everything in it, we hope. Everything known to linguists and speakers. Not a teaching grammar. We're not orienting it strictly to the teaching material. We're hoping that teachers will use it. That's one of our main goals, but we're not trying to make it just for the teaching. In particular, we're trying to write it so that the community language professionals, which includes language teachers, interpreters, anybody really in a sense, but not the whole community, can read it and not just linguists. This is inspired by Rand Valentine's grammar on Anishinaabemowin, where he made a grammar that was really very community oriented. So in order for us, we're trying to ensure that the people in the community are fully happy with the way it's written and lots of other things. There's all sorts of input into the grammar beyond data. So questions, as we'll talk about in a second, and the readability, data checking, so all sorts of things. So it's a very, you know, lots of community input. So here's just sort of a model. So we've got the grammar, which is online. It will ultimately, hopefully, turn into a book, but I think it's probably more useful in a sense as a web resource, but as we know as academics, a book is also useful. So, this came up yesterday, these sorts of issues. So Nunatsiva Tung, the cultural center, Katie is liaison, the teachers are involved, both in producing aspects of the grammar through questions, discussion, whatever data, and then the university. So there's email going back and forth, and then there's material being posted online, they say in the form of a blog currently. So here's just one example that came out of Christine's classroom, which had to do with how come the words can change around. So this sentence can be, both of them mean the boy is under the table. So some of the students wondered about this. And so this is just something we've got, I don't think this one's online yet, but just what every linguist, I think, knows, that word order is free. And in English, we don't find that kind of free word order. And with some examples where this word means, this is a sentence, sorry. And haupat silakipat kisiani, only if it's a nice day tomorrow, and all the permutations are possible word orders. So then an explanation then, which has so far passed the test of readability, is that, again, things that as linguists, we know the linguists can read this, because they have endings, that the English words don't have so many endings, and so languages with endings like Russian or Latin it's normal, and we see it around the world that the words move around within the sentence. Here's another question from Christine's classroom where she was teaching the endings, the endings Mick and Nick, where Mick is associated with the singular, it's a case ending, sort of an accusative, not exactly, and the plural. And then later, a student asked, well, how come when I say I see my mother, and there's only one person there, why has that got a Nick? So, good question. So they're paying attention. We know they're engaged. So they wanted to know how come it's not the bad one. And so this is from the blog. So this is what a little bit we've got up there. Like this isn't the whole thing from that entry. But basically the idea is that after, if the case ending follows a grammatical morpheme, like a possessive ending, then you have to use the Nick form or the N form, not the M form that you'd use in the singular. So there's other examples that go along with that. So it's just to sort of talk about that issue. So we're hoping that this material will be useful to the community, that we'll end up having more and more material, and that it will, we're finding that the questions are really promoting the writing, and it's really helpful to know what people, the students, want to know, and it leads to other things, other sorts of entries, and as each piece gets written. So we're hoping that there's going to be a lot more. So here's pertinent information, so thank you. We discuss that with people at every step. I think Christine can speak about it after I just say a little bit. But for instance, the stories, one of the stories is from someone who's deceased, and we checked with her family, and she was very happy to hear her mother's voice again. She didn't have any of that. She knows about the web. She works in the media, and she was very happy to have that. Now we actually have a little bit of a password for the story, so it's very easy password, but just to keep crawlers and that off. So everything, and then we just put up another story this week again. We checked with the writer. I think basically we don't have the kinds of issues like Eva was talking about yesterday, so far at least. Christine, do you want to say anything about how people feel about seeing stuff on the web?
Well, I guess from my community, I could speak from the elders and the community members of McCulvick, and I've heard from my co-teachers from Long Coast. They're very interested in, I guess, seeing more of the language promoted in our communities, and this is one way they're very excited about. And our strategic committee has also mentioned that there's going to be ways that I guess we could protect from being somewhere.
I don't know.
What do you call it? People trying to take advantage of.
I don't know. People trying to take advantage. But I don't know.
Yeah.
I didn't know they had mentioned that. But I think Labrador Inuit are sort of pretty interested in promoting it in a general sense. Like if you started learning Labrador Inuit tomorrow, I think they'd be probably pretty happy. And that's why they've got this, you can buy the materials and they've got the Rosetta Stone. So I think they sort of think, my impression is that the more the better.
Yeah.
That's all. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, Larry.
Yeah, I really like the way your grammar arises from specific questions in the classes. That's wonderful. I mean, it makes perfect sense. I haven't seen that being done yet. And we have people in Inupiaq in Alaska trying to write simplified grammars which will be understandable to high school students and so forth. And I think the students are telling you what they want to know, and you make it understandable to them, which seems, it seems very sensible. One question though, does the Rosetta Stone really work very well? It's becoming quite the rage in Alaska. And everybody
wants
to use
Rosetta
Stone.
It's very useful in our communities. You hear the younger people speak in more of our language now because they use the Rosetta Stone in the classroom, as well as me teaching in the classroom. We take about half the period of the class to use Rosetta Stone. So they're very keen on learning the language through Rosetta Stone as well.
Yeah, if I might make a suggestion about why that might be, I think it's finally introduced a sort of cool factor that we know is really important for language, for amongst the youth. They like things that are not just, so I think, I don't know, do you think because it's that technology?
I think, yeah, technology too.
Yeah.
It's got colored pictures, it's got technology.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Lena, yeah. Oh, no, sorry, Lena.
It's
Eva, sorry.
Did you guys look at all into using firstvoices.com and their archiving website? And because some of the things that you're doing with the stories are actually possible on the firstvoices.com.
Oh, you can do that there? Because
yeah.
We were looking to find out whether anybody had actually
yeah.
done that.
There are communities that have stories posted. And then there are communities that are just focusing on vocabulary
and they can do the morpheme breakdown?
That I don't know.
Because that's what, that was sort
trying.
Of our, we went to Stabilizing Indigenous Languages last year to find out if we'd reinvented the wheel. So far, we haven't found that we've done that.
No, and in fact, I think you may be doing something quite, I think you're doing something very innovative, actually. And it's something that I think the First Voices people have tried to do and haven't known how to do, so.
And myself we've been trying to get it so that we would like to be able to give it so other people can use it, but
mm-hmm.
it's the whole time when will we have time to do that sort of thing, because he's busy with his PhD. You can imagine University of Maryland, he's like just started his PhD, so not on this topic. So
do people know what I'm talking about when I say First Voices?
No, why didn't you say something?
Well,
like
maybe
that?
I should just very briefly
yeah.
mention it. It's First Peoples Cultural Foundation in British Columbia has developed a language archiving website, which is called firstvoices.com, and it's run by the Aboriginal groups that make up First Peoples Cultural Foundation. And one of the main, the idea is that they go and they train community members to do the work themselves, but they have the support of First Peoples, the technical support of First Peoples. And they also have the server capacity for First Peoples. And there's a lot of interaction between communities and the organization. So there are, I think, something like 17 or 18 communities that are using it right now.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them in Canada, but there are also some in the United States. So.
Other questions?
We had a question on your grammar.
Mm-hmm.
You said any word order works?
Well, not 100%. That would, yeah. No, in that one sentence. No, not any word. I said it. Yeah, I think in the grammar, more free. Yeah. No.
I was just curious about the double objects once you start getting into.
Yeah, they don't have double objects, but if you try and move, I think possessives you don't move. I think once that gets written in full, no, I wouldn't say any word. No, just more free. Yeah, yeah. No, we all know that. If you try that, you run into a problem. Soon. But just to break people, I think it's just the first part is just to, you know, to get people used to the fact that it's different from English.
It was brought up in the classroom, asked why we could use this sentence in any word order. So I asked Alana about it. She put it up for me.
Yeah.
In some sentences.
Yeah, it seems like you can use any word order as long as it's just a subject, object, verb.
Yeah.
And then when you go beyond that,
yeah,
then you have to put it in a certain order.
Yeah, especially as I say, I think possessives are often, like, you wouldn't want to take your possessive too far. But yeah, double objects, well, yeah, they don't really have double objects per se. It's just a blog for you. That's the whole idea for the format. Yeah.
Constant or intermittent updating of.
Yes, like archiving.
Right.
But I'm not so sure that I told Richard, because we just started it, that part a couple weeks ago, and.
Because I can imagine a thing where, you know, people out in the community or in school are putting up questions.
Well, somebody was coming here who canceled, who was doing that with a wiki, and
yeah,
I thought, well.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be ideal if we got it directly from the kids like that. I don't know where my... that would be good, and especially to get the youth involved in a more immediate sense.
So I can see people like sitting in the classroom and wondering, well, what about blah,
yeah,
blah, blah, and
yeah,
then put up a little question.
Yeah,
and
no, I think that would
answer.
Be... No, I think that would be good. But what we don't want at this point is any rewriting of the grammar. That's
right.
For sure. Like, don't want any.
Yeah, we could probably have it. Like,
is this
you know, like,
or are they taping this soon?
Oops.
Hope they edit it.